What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Man Show at Quinnipiac Bobcats head coach Tom Pecora with me on the Boss Man Show out of the MAC conference. Coach, how you doing, man? I see you in the background in your office, man. Looking good over there, man. I see you.
Yeah, well, we're comfortable here. It's obviously I had been here for 6 years working as the associate head coach, and when Coach Dunleavy moved on to become an administrator down at Villanova, it was a seamless transition for us. Kept the entire staff here, so we kind of, hit the ground running. There wasn't a big transition in that regard. So far, so good. It's been great.
Now, Coach, let me ask you this, man. Some background. I'll just tell you, my dad's a coach, too, Coach Pecora. He's 84 years old, man. So he all talks about how he wanted to impact young men and be in their lives, be in their weddings, be in there, help them with their businesses. And I saw Father's Day, how those young men he played for him hit him up, thank you for what you did for me. So for you, Coach, like, what was your why to get into coaching, and when did you want to get into this business of coaching?
Well, I started out as a school teacher. My first job out of college, I was teaching health and phys ed in New York City. I was a sub at first in Brooklyn, then I got a job back on Long Island. I had gone to Adelphi University out there, and my college roommate at Adelphi had played in high school for Bob McKillop, the coach at Davidson, when he was a coach on Long Island. Bob, like myself, both originally from Queens, New York. So we hit it off, and I was blessed, man. My first job, I was a freshman basketball coach at Long Island Lutheran High School, and Bob McKillop was the varsity coach at a nationally ranked high school program. And I was with him for 3 years, and I learned a ton. And I was with one of the premier coaches in the country. Even at that time, he was a high school coach. He hadn't left to go on to Davidson yet. After that, I was able, while I was still teaching school full-time, but another part-time job, and I was an assistant basketball coach at a junior college nearby. Crazy story is that I was, the school district I was teaching in, I interviewed for the JV job. And if I got the JV job there, I figured, hey, man, I could sit here. When the varsity coach moves on, I could be the varsity coach, live a good life, school teacher on Long Island, which was the country to me coming from Queens. It was beautiful out there. And I didn't get the job. So they gave the job to some other cat, and a week later, I got a call to be a junior college assistant at Nassau Community College, and I went there, worked for 2 years for a wonderful coach named Stu Klein, who actually played at the same high school as me in Queens, Martin Van Buren, and then I got a head junior college job. It's now a Division III school, SUNY Farmingdale, and I was 28, and I was a head coach, and I made a ton of mistakes. And I learned with 100 people in the gym. And, there's times now over the years I've watched like some new head coaches that hadn't had that experience yet. They come from major programs, and then you watch them try to coach a game on national television or in front of 10,000 people, and it's a tough place to cut your teeth. You know, I was lucky for 3 years. I could make mistakes and figure things out as a young coach, and really work on my craft. And I think that's something that doesn't happen quite as often. You don't see as many guys now come up through the ranks of Division III, Division II, up into the Division I level. So it's like being in minor league baseball, man. You make your mistakes, you get better at what you do, you know? And I got a chance after that to go to UNLV and work for Coach Massimino. Rolly left Villanova to go to Vegas. Jay Wright and I had been buddies since after college. We worked some camps together. And Coach Mass ended up being like a second father to me, but he took a chance on a young guy and really was a huge mentor for me. So another great coach that I got a chance to work for after working with Bob McKillop and then working for Coach Mass, and Jay and I are working together. And then obviously Jay goes on and goes, wins two national championships. So it's the people you're around and what you learn, you know. Jay and I went back together to Hofstra. We were both kids in our early 30s. And, you know, we were grinding and trying to win, and we were concerned about how that process was going. And then in year three, we recruited a little guy. And the first time I saw him play, he was about 5'7", 155 pounds when he was a sophomore in high school. But his name was Speedy Claxton. And he came in and as everyone knows, led us to multiple America East championships. And he went on and got drafted in the first round by the Sixers. And he changed the whole dynamic for everyone. Jay moved on to Villanova. I became the head coach at Hofstra for 10 years. And then from there on to Fordham and then here at Quinnipiac. So this is when you're supposed to say, man, you don't look that old.
But, you know, I'm serious. Yeah, you know. And I remember Speedy from being an Atlanta Hawks player. Because I also cover the Hawks too. So I remember him being a Hawk player for a little while, man. So it's funny you say that, man, because I just love basketball. Like I said, I remember you was a Hawks player headed for them because I'm a basketball junkie. So I remember you being there. So it's like, man, it's funny, cool to have you on the show because I've watched you for years, actually.
Oh, thanks, man. But you know, the thing about at Hofstra, Speedy's last year, we built a new arena, and the house that Speedy built, and I'm so damn proud of him. He and I are still very close. We talk all the time, and now he is the head coach at Hofstra, obviously, and he's doing a wonderful job. So, you know, this is exciting for me. I mean, you know, I'm on my final run here, you know, making that clubhouse turn in coaching. I got another 5 or 8 years in me, I think, before I might want to shut this down, but you know, coaching gets you on the inside, but I'm young at heart, man. And I have high energy and I'm very lucky here to have a great staff. This campus and this university of Quinnipiac really is an impressive place. I mean, the location is great. We're right outside of New Haven, Connecticut, right near Yale. And actually in the summer, our guys and the Yale guys get to play pickup together on occasion. You know, the campus is off the charts. We got a big time facility. And what I find funny is there's a state park right next to us called Sleeping Giant State Park. And I said, boy, isn't that appropriate? Because I think this is a sleeping giant. And I think it's a place where we might be able to have a little bit of success and put a little run together.
100%, Coach. And I'm going to tell you, man, I love coming to Queens. I go to every year to the U.S. Open.
Oh, all right. Well, you let me know. We'll go dine. I got a couple spots.
Yes, because every year I cover the U.S. Open before everything is going with basketball and the Hawks. So the Hawks start September 25th, so I'm going to get the U.S. Open in right before that. So I always go to the U.S. Open, man. I love tennis. You know, that was my fourth sport, Coach. My dad had me play basketball, football, baseball, and tennis. So that's my fourth sport, and my dad just was constant on me, Coach, every day. I was doing some kind of sports activity. My mom hated it. She's like, you're ruining him.
But I think it's you know what he was doing. He's keeping you busy. That's what he was doing. He was keeping you busy.
I said, Mom, this my dad's master plan worked. They get me in the NFL or the NBA, but I've been on the radio for 15 years. Covering sports, Mom. It gets you your nice bags you like.
No, you know what, too? And it doesn't matter what level you play. The whole idea of some activity. I mean, I have a father of three children. Our oldest girl wasn't an athlete, but she was a dancer. Our second girl, a bit of an athlete, small in stature, so she stopped playing after high school. My son played a little bit. But it just gives you the structure and the discipline. Any outside activity that young people can do, and it doesn't have to be sports, but obviously you and I are biased to it, you know. But it gives you a dream. It gives you something to motivate yourself for. And I continue to preach that even to our guys on this level. You know, it doesn't matter you're 18 to 22 or 23 years old. I mean, you still got to have dreams. Hell, I'm 65 and I still have dreams about what I'm going to do, what this team's going to be able to accomplish this year, what my children can do, what my family can do. So, I mean, that's a big part of life. And I think that as a young person, you can really motivate people through any outside activity. But the one I'm best at was always being involved in some kind of sport, you know, and it didn't matter where you were playing it. You were in your yard or at the schoolyard alone late at night shooting around when I was a kid. And I wasn't in PS33 schoolyard. I was in Madison Square Garden, you know, and I was making that game-winning shot. And I remember it like it was yesterday, being the only guy there trying to work out on your game. And the same thing. I remember my little girls dancing in their rooms, and you know they were in Carnegie Hall. They were in they were on stage somewhere performing. So whatever motivates you and gives you great passion for life, I'm all in on it, and I try to pass that along to not only the players but the young coaches that I'm working with here. I got a great young staff, all in their 20s and 30s, and it's important for them to understand. We're in this business for a reason. You got to have, like you do, for your passion for radio. Well, I'm the same way here in coaching. And if you don't have passion for what you're doing, then what the heck are you doing, man? You know, it's too hard a job. You're going to work 60, 70 hour weeks. You better be doing something you love, you know?
And what's beautiful, Coach, is my dad's 84 years old. He gets out there still, throws the football with me and my three sons, 8, 4, and 2. So he gets to see his grandchildren follow the same footsteps as he did for me. And I love being out there with my kids and with my dad out there still active, 84 years old, still throw the football. He's out there coaching my kids up, telling them how to do certain things.
Priceless, right? Yes. That is priceless stuff, man. And I mean, you know, and I think you don't appreciate that until as you move on in years. And like, I can only imagine how good your dad feels about that and what a smile that puts on his face, you know?
Yes, he always brags about it, Coach, having it's my lineage right here. My son and my three grandsons, I just love it. Yeah. It just makes him so proud to see that he has me and now he has three grandsons. He can actually see while he's still living and actually engage with them.
That's
he really
right.
loves
That's
that.
Proud. I'm sure he's very proud of your success, too. And that's like, as a father, I feel that way. I just became a grandfather for the first time. Our oldest girl had a little girl, and it's just a whole different feeling, man. It brings you back. And once again, it gives you that passion and that love of life, you know?
It makes me work harder, Coach. I'm going to tell you, Coach, I started off this radio thing, graveyard shift, 2 and 6 in the morning. Me, the deer, and the truckers, man. That's what I see.
There you go.
And to come where I came from those late nights to now, man, I'm blessed, Coach. I tell you what, the Lord blessed me and hard work and drive, and I appreciate my mom and dad for what they put in me to work so hard to get to where I am, because Coach, nobody helped me get to where I'm at. I'm gonna be honest with you. I had to break down these doors myself. I'll be honest with you about that.
That's what it takes. You know, one of the things Coach Massimino said to me, I was teaching school and coaching junior college, and I was 30 years old, and I think my salary back then was like $55,000 a year. I was this is early 90s now, right? And I left to go be an assistant. I was the director of basketball operations for Coach Mass. I got $18,000. That was my salary. But wow. He said, when you're young, you get paid in experience. If you're good, when you get old, you'll get paid in paper. And he was right. He was very true. I had to take that step back in order to take the steps forward that I was able to do in this profession. And, you know, once again, like I said, I was so close with him, and he was like a second father to me. And the great thing I learned from Coach Massimino as well, with all of us, myself and Jay, he was just so willing to teach us every aspect of the coaching business. And I've always tried to do that with all my assistants at Hofstra, at Farmingdale, at Hofstra, and at Fordham, every aspect of the business. He didn't just say, hey, you're an assistant, go recruit, go get me players. You know, he taught you about every aspect of ball, you know, that he felt was important. The business aspect of coaching, you know, for everything from team travel to off-season programs. So he wasn't afraid to share, and he was a great educator. And that's always been my goal. Even though I'm no longer a school teacher, I still feel like it's our responsibility as coaches on any level. And God knows some of the greatest coaches I've ever been around have been junior high school, junior college, Division III coaches, you know, flat out great coaches. Doesn't matter your level, you're still teaching kids and staff, you know, and it's part of your responsibility.
No doubt, Coach. I feel similar with my interns. I get 60 interns every year from Clarks, Morehouse, Georgia State, Georgia Tech, Mercer, and Kennesaw every year. So I try to teach, show them radio as best I can, so they can go on and use what I give them knowledge to build your own show. Yes. Go and do it JR's way, but you can still do it and do it well, because it's one way we want to do stuff. So I feel the same way with my interns, Coach, every semester who I bring in here to help me with this show and run it, that I teach them pour into those young people so they can go on and be great media members after leaving this show for a semester they work here.
Right, and take, you know, learn from you and then learn from the next person you work from. You know, like I said, all of the different coaches I worked for, you just take a little bit from each. And that, and then you do it your way. And that's the big thing. You can't go into this any business and just think I'm going to replicate exactly what this person did. You got to have your own personality. You got to have your own confidence in yourself. But you take a little bit from all the great ones you work with.
And, Coach, I'm asking this, man, about recruiting up there in the Northeast, man. You have a lot of talent up there, man. They can't go to, like, St. John's, Seton Hall, or one of the bigger schools up there, man. So how was it with this transfer portal, NIL, you can get – high school guys you probably used to could not get because of their eyes are not trained on those guys now where they used to be. They want the known commodity rather than a high school guy you have to develop and get them better to that point.
Yeah, well, you know, personally, I think the whole system is broken. And the reason I feel that way is I just think in 2 or 3 years, the graduation rates are going to be very low. Because I know as a guy who went to junior college and then went to a four-year school, dealing with so many transfers and young men who are leaving without that year to catch up and get ahead academically, I have great concerns about guys being able to get through programs in 4 years. And that's our primary goal here, is to get young men and women educated in college athletics. So it concerns me. I understand the concept of freedom of movement, but I also believe as a grown men and women in this profession, It's a different mindset when you're leaving and you're paying a mortgage and three tuitions and taking care of a family. And God knows the bad decisions I made at 18 or 19 years old, not, you know, in all walks of life. But I just think that these young men moving and then with the NIL, just making decisions driven on money and not, I mean, I'm speaking to young guys and they're asking about NIL. Rarely am I getting anything about, well, tell me about your business school. You know, no one's saying, tell me about your business. Tell me about your school of communications. I'm not getting that as much as I used to. I mean, so often now it's all about, all right, you know, it's all the superficial things and it's not the meat. And the meat is, what kind of education am I going to get? Am I going to go to the best educational school, or am I going to go to school that's paying me the most in NIL? And I think that's sad, because we're educators and this is higher education. This is not, you know, this is not an auction. It's not something where I'm just going to decide, oh, I'm going, you know, to the job that's paying me the most. That's not going to make you happy. You and I both know that. We followed our hearts and our passion in our careers. So I just have great concerns about the future of college athletics.
And, Coach, I was the first one in my family to go to college and get a degree. If it wasn't for sports, I wouldn't have gotten a degree. I'm the first one in my family to get a degree in business. And going to Tennessee State, Coach, being living in Atlanta, Tennessee State has a radius of 250. So my house is 247. We got the interstate rate by 3 miles.
How about that?
Tuition, $2,500 a semester for 12 plus hours. So the scholarship I had extra money in my pocket because I got the interstate rate by 3 miles.
that's a great story. And look, it is. I mean, I just think people have lost sight of what this is all about, man. This is still about educating young men. It doesn't matter if you're at the highest level and you're playing in the premier conferences in the country, or you're at the lowest level. You still have to be pushing this concept of getting your degree. It's an opportunity, similar to yourself. I mean, you know, I was the first one with a degree in my family, and still the only one, and I'm very proud of it. But I just think that the educational piece is getting pushed to the side, and it's just becoming, it's pro athletics. You know, if you're just thinking about getting paid, and I also worry about the level of motivation for some of these young guys, once they have, they have more than they've ever had in their life. And do they settle and say, well, this is pretty good, I can handle this, or does it motivate them more? I don't know. It concerns me. You know, I pull up in a Subaru, and one of the kids I'm coaching pulls up in a BMW. That's the world we live in right now, okay? Because he was at a big school, and he transferred down, and he got some great NIL money, and he's living good, and I'm happy for him. But it's a different dynamic, and it really concerns me long term.
Yes, indeed, Coach. It concerns me as well, Coach, because I feel like these guys don't truly understand about the education piece. Because for me, like, getting at my degree, Coach, my professor taught me about real estate. Once I get through covering being in the media, I can go get a real estate license. Tell me about becoming a notary. She taught me about finances from going to school, going to class. So I feel like without my professor to Tennessee State trying to actually molded me and helped me become a better man. So now I have options after I get through covering the NBA, having my radio show. If I ever retire, I was going to get out of this business. Right. I have options because I went to school and took it seriously about getting my degree. Now I have an MBA as well. So I used my opportunity and I cashed it in. And now I'm such a young man. I'm an example of what you can do if you use it the right way.
Right. You set the table, right? You know it better than me, because when I get done coaching, all I can do is caddy or bartend. But I'm good at both, but we'll see. You never know how it all plays out, right?
No doubt, Coach. This was wonderful, man. Man, ask you this, man, your conference, the MAC, is, man, it's a tough league, man. Like, I watch some of you guys' games on ESPN Plus, man, and I'm just messing around on my iPad, man. So talk about the coaching in your league, man, how that Northeast basketball is tough, and I wish – they could go out and get more run and people see how great ball is up there, man. It's very fun to watch.
Yeah, no, the MAC has got a great tradition. It's always been a wonderful conference. I watch games there since I was in high school. And the perennial power over the years has been Iona. And obviously great coaches have come through there, starting with Jimmy Valvano was the coach there when I was in high school. Then Pat Kennedy and a slew of other guys. Timmy Clouse came through and had a great run. And obviously Rick Pitino just being there for the last few years. Siena dominated the conference for a while, you know, when they were up there in the early days with Mike Dean and then later on with Fran McCaffrey, who's out at Iowa now. So there's been different things. 2 years ago, the St. Peter's run was tremendous. You know, Shaheen Holloway did a wonderful job and got them to the Sweet 16. But it's a very competitive conference from top to bottom. When you look at scores in the MAC conference, it doesn't matter if the number one team's playing the team at the bottom of the conference that year. It's going to be a single-digit game at the end because guys can coach it up. Players are tough, physical. Years ago, it was predominantly Northeastern kids, but now, you know, the world's become a smaller place, and a lot of the teams are bringing guys in from all over, as we have. But I think it's a real good league. The intensity of it is a basketball-driven conference, and that's important. So each basketball program is the premier sport, you know, on the majority of the campuses. So it's a great conference to coach in. The travel isn't brutal. You know, when you're young, you think it's, you know, that traveling is so much fun. I like getting in my own bed after a game, and I don't mind being in a bus for 3 or 4 hours to get back to campus and then have a great practice the next day. So it's a real good conference. We just have a new commissioner coming into the conference. There's been some change in coaching positions that are going to be exciting as well. But one of the issues, as we go back to the whole transfer portal, is with all of your mid-major conferences, sometimes you feel like it's AAA baseball. And if you have young guys that are performing at a high level, the big boys are going to come in and swoop them in and kind of pull them from us. So that's something as a conference we have to work on, making it better and making it a place where young players want to stay longer and they understand they can have great success by staying and you know, and putting up numbers as compared to going somewhere. You're an all-conference player here, and now you're going to go to a higher level, as we talked about earlier, just for a few bucks. And all of a sudden you're the eighth man on a team. I don't know. You know, that's not for the most competitive players that I know.
100%, Coach. Coach, let me ask you this, man. For you all having to get bought and schedule games, how rough is that, man, non-conference schedule kind of put together, knowing you've got to get bought some games so you get people to play you at home and knowing how people lie in scheduling? they lie more than they do lie in recruiting. But I feel like that's probably your toughest part is trying to schedule these games non-conference-wise, probably.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I remember Jim Valvano had a great quote. He said, you know, if you want to be successful in college basketball, the most important thing is recruiting. The second most important thing is scheduling. And coaching's third. But if you get really good players and you schedule the right way, you're going to have some success. And the whole bye game concept varies, you know, from conferences to conference and within conferences from school to schools. I mean, I have friends throughout the business on various levels, and at some places, guys got to get bought 4 or 5 times in non-conference. And, you know, the money that's being brought in is underwriting not just basketball, but other programs at the university. And one of the challenges with that is keeping your team and players motivated when you're on the road in a scenario where it's really tough to win. And not only are you're playing against a higher level team, you got officials from their league doing the game, so you're not getting a great whistle. I've been tied on the road with a minute to go in some games, and I was doing it long enough to realize unless we go on a couple crazy things happen, it's going to be a tough one to win. But it's challenging. Here we have great resources, so it's not a scenario we have to get bought, 3, 4 times a year. Generally, we'll go out and play one game. And I also like the concept of being in a big time environment because it replicates what our conference tournament will be like and what it'll be like if we are lucky enough to have enough success to go to the postseason and play. And I think you can use that as a point of reference throughout the year when we're going into a great tough environment in conference, a packed house. We can say, hey, remember we played so well at Florida, or we played so well at St. John's or Seton Hall or in Madison Square Garden, where we were able to play quite a bit when I was at Fordham and at Hofstra. So I think they become point of reference games, and I also think they can help as a motivator, and you can lock your team in. Now, if you take it to the extreme, and once again, you're playing 4 or 5, 6 games to keep your program up and running and keep the athletic department running, it makes it a much greater challenge.
Yeah, I can speak to that at Tennessee State. We had to do that.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah,
And
some places you do, yeah.
I remember playing at Vanderbilt, like you said, it was a close game and SEC reps took over.
Well, listen, at Vanderbilt, the good thing is as a player, you can make believe you don't hear the coach. They used to have those benches on the baseline, remember?
Yes.
So if you were between the hash marks and the coach was yelling, he wasn't on the sideline screaming at you.
Yes,
But
yeah, but Memorial Gym was very unique to play. Very unique to play in Memorial Gym for sure. But I tell you, Coach, I tell you, the SEC refs took over, man.
yeah, they know where the payday is. God bless them. They're human.
Yes,
They're human.
indeed. So yeah, I mean, you said that, Coach, say yes, I know all too well about. Hey, something happened. If it's too close, they can make it work for their team.
Hey, as Guy used to say, it's got to be a 3-possession game with a minute to go. You got to be up 3 possessions to have a shot. You better make your free throws.
Yes, you got that right, Coach. But Coach, I tell you what, man, it's been fun to catch up with you. It's been fun to talk to you. Like I said, I've been a fan of yours for years. My dad was happy that I was having you on the show. My dad knew who you were too. So I'll tell you, man, it's good to have you on the show, man. It's fun to catch up with you for the front. I hope to do this again real soon, man.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And if there's anything we can do for you up this way, you just holler.
Will do, Coach. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. What's up, family? Gerald the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.